With the Open European Water Ski Championships just around the corner, we talk to a former and two-time world slalom champion in Thomas de Gasperi, next on this episode of the TWBC podcast.
The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, hello, greetings, and welcome to this episode of the TWBC podcast. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and right in that intro, we introduce Thomas de Gasperi, a former world slalom champion and many times European slalom champion, and we're just getting ready for the Open European Championships here in Rocheto. So happy hunting grounds for you, Thomas de Gasperi, in this event. You've medaled and gotten the European title on so many different occasions.
Yeah, it's a tournament that, you know, it's throughout the years I won many times, and you know, it's good to be in Italy, and I don't know if I would be somewhere else. I probably wouldn't have gone this year. So it's been a hard month, hard summer. So, but here we are.
Okay, we'll touch upon recent events a little bit later on, but let's kind of start a little bit at the beginning of the season. A little bit with your skiing. So right up to this point, you hadn't skied in that many tournaments or placed that high in a number of them. So kind of give us your summation of how things have gone so far this season for you up to this point.
Well, I did all the pro events until, you know, beginning of August, and I did win a big one that will allow me to go to the Masters next year, so I won't have to go through the LCQ series qualifiers. I won the Botas Pro-Am this year.
Of course you did, yeah.
So, you know, that was pretty good for me, and then I did podium in Norway at the other pro event, and qualify for the Masters at the last LCQ with, you know, 5 at 41. So yeah, it's been up and down, but I'm pretty happy to be still up there and made podiums and some wins.
Now, Will Asher has made no secret of the fact that the Masters qualifier tournaments isn't the most desirable for situation for him or for a number of skiers, and I'm sure you share in that opinion as well. But at the very least, qualifying out of the Botas Pro, that must take a lot of strain and a lot of stress out of your mind, knowing that you will be on the dock in Callaway Gardens come Memorial Day in May, right?
Yeah, you know, those three events prior to Masters are, I wouldn't say frustrating, but it's tough to go and compete and try to qualify because everybody are there and everybody's trying to, you know, do their best, and it doesn't matter what you do the prior year, it won't give you a chance to, you know, the results of the prior year, it won't give you a chance to be qualified for the Masters. So in my opinion, it lost a little bit of, you know, integrity, the way that we have to qualify that way. But and that only came after, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic. So they kind of came around and tried to figure out how to qualify for the Masters. But now we're back at full throttles with events and tournaments. So I think it would be better if we take a look at any kind of standing from the prior year.
So in your opinion, the way it was prior to the pandemic is the way it should be from here on out?
I mean, the way it was pretty good. You sum up the points of, you know, the elite ranking list of the year, and the top seven get to go to the Masters. And that was an easy way for us to understand how people will go to the Masters. And now it's not based how you ski the prior year. It's based how you ski the month of May.
Indeed, indeed. So you've already assured yourself that you're going to be on the dock, as we mentioned, in Callaway Gardens. Now, you ski well in Norway, didn't you?
I got third in Norway, yes. Uh-huh. And then I won the Bodas Pro-Am and missed the podium in Lacanau at the Malibu Open. And but I was skiing good. I got fourth and tried to turn one buoy that I shouldn't turn. I should have stood up and got second. But, you know, my mentality is not to stop if I get to a buoy where I think in that split second that I can turn it. I tried to turn it.
How well do you reckon that you converted or at least assimilated from being in a warm water situation, which Botas is? I mean, it's probably one of the venues in the world of skiing where you're almost always assured that the water is going to be like extremely warm, like well over 90 degrees Fahrenheit, and then you turn around and then you ski in Norway where the basic air temperature doesn't get much above 50 degrees in the middle of the daytime, you know, so the water can't be too much warmer at that point, you know. So is it difficult to go from one to the other for you?
It's definitely different. Mostly for me, my personal experience is the approach to the gate is very different. You know, both us, this year wasn't too hot, but usually it is pretty hot. So, you know, warmer water equals to slower water. And then the following weekend, you go to either Norway or France where the water is a little cooler. You have to be quick. You have to adjust and you know, you have to adapt to the conditions. And that's why we usually start at longer lines and kind of figure out how everything works.
Okay, so you're here in Ricetto, which in your native country of Italy, where you're getting ready to ski in the Open European Championships. Now, in a typical situation, a typical year, this is probably one of the tournaments that you're going to be, that you've practiced well for, that you're hyped to do and everything. But obviously, given recent news, recent situations, not quite as clear cut.
Yeah, no. It's been a difficult time for me, and I was not gonna come until a couple of days ago, but with the support of my mom and the Federation, and even if I haven't been training much, I decided to come, you know, for him, for my mom, for me, and also to respect the Federation that put a lot of work for this event, and they're always behind us. And I decided to come. I will ski on Thursday, and I don't know what the outcome will be, but my mindset is not there. My preparation is not, I'm not ready for this, but I'm here for other reasons.
Indeed, indeed. I mean, it may be a little bit crass of me to actually pressure you upon those reasons, but I mean, but in lieu of that, kind of give us a little bit of a sense of how important Marco was,
yeah,
to you being the skier and the champion that you are.
Yeah, I mean, he won't want me there, here, you know? Yeah, he wants me here, so I'm here. And I'll try my best, and, you know, I'll try to honor him and the relationship we had and we still have. It's what brought me to who I am and made me the person that I am. And, you know, it's, I can't be selfish and sit home and cry, and I have to be here and keep going and do what makes me the person that I am.
Indeed, indeed. And well, normally these podcasts would tend to run on for a little bit longer. I mean, we're at 10 minutes right now, where they're normally a half an hour. But I would say, I mean we could end this right now, but we can still continue. So, all right then. So beyond that scope, I mean, obviously Marco are hugely influential, and I mean, going forward, I mean, you ski out of Trento. It's a huge lake facility. It's probably one of the best open water sites anyone will ever get to ski in the entire world. You probably haven't skied that much within the last few days, as you've mentioned, you know. But in the time before that, how does training on such a large expanse of water kind of help you whenever you go to like a custom built site such as Rochetto or San Gervasio or even Botas?
It's you know, like my lake in Italy where I grew up, and also the ski school that I have in Orlando. You know, they're tough lakes to ski on. And I remember always my dad telling me, like, hey, if you ski in a hard place, a place where it's hard to ski, you will perform better where it's easier. Maybe that's why I've been skiing good, so good at Moombas and other events where conditions are not the best. But the perspective changes when you are in a big lake. And, you know, that lake is very deep, and you have to work to get to the buoys, and then it definitely, I think it helps. In my opinion, it helps to ski where it's not always perfect, and you know, maybe a little boat goes by in the middle of the course and you gotta ski through the little bumps. And
yeah, exactly.
But you know, beside the memories and everything that keeps me there, you know, I really, really enjoy skiing where it's hard to run buoys. And then you come here, and yeah, of course you have to adjust a little bit your timing, but it's a lot less work here.
Because I mean, like Trento is like really, really deep water. I mean, that ski is going to sit down in that water, and to try and get it moving is probably going to be hard at the best of times. So whenever you pull out for your gate shot, you know, you're probably going to, at a site like Rochetto, you feel like you're going like 20, 30 miles an hour, or like quicker that gate pull out. So you're like, whoa, okay, let's back up here a little bit and try and get this gate shot.
Yeah, that lake, it's about 60 meters deep. So, you know, there's a lot of water underneath you, and it drags you, it stops you, but it makes you aware of how good you can be, and your small problems on a lake like Rochetto here becomes a lot bigger there. So it's good. I like it. Tough conditions. Yeah,
you like that challenge. You like being it.
Yeah, Nate and Dane came over, and Nick has been there many, many times. Nick Parsons, and they said it's not easy, but it's so beautiful, and it's just amazing. Like, one of the for me is the best place in the world. But
I mean, like, with the restaurants and the vistas, it's very idyllic, isn't it?
Yeah, you get the valley in front of you with like two churches. You can see the church top, and just amazing. The water is so clear, you can drink it, I guess. So yeah, you know, it's not far from here, and you know, that's why also I'm here today, because it's only like 2.5 hours from here, so it's not that far. And Europeans has always been for us a very good tournament, and along with Worlds, and you know, you get a team behind you get a country behind you, and and now we're here, and you know, in Italy. So I gave it a lot of thought about coming or not coming, and I'm here, so that's good.
All right then. So, I mean, how much support has your ski company been to you over the last few years? Because I mean, they produce like that wide ride that you're on, that you've been skiing on for so long. I mean, how long have you been on that particular model of ski?
So I remember I was skiing on the regular wide ride when it came out in 2009, I think, at the World Championships in Canada, and I remember after Worlds, Dave Good was there and we're talking about the ski, and I said, look, it's really good on one side, it could be a lot better on the other side. And me, at the time, the coach was Bubu Alessi.
Uh-huh.
Which will be here this weekend.
Of course.
And we kind of threw the idea of having one ski on the offside and the other ski on the onside. And he said, yeah, you can do it.
Almost like a Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, went up there and cut a couple of skis, and those guys started gluing together. And it was scary at first because it's a glued ski, but it did an amazing job. And I took maybe 10 sets on it. And then they said, just to be safe, don't ski on anymore. And I really, really like it. And from then on, he cut a mold, but I had to figure out binding placement, fin settings, rocker, the stiffness of the ski. There's so much.
Yeah, because on one side of the ski, you've got to allow for a little bit more room for the binding setup, and yet that binding has got to be relatively close to the narrow side, right?
Correct.
For it to ride correctly.
So my binding is not in the center of the ski. It's on the right side of the ski. And also my front binding, it's tilted to the right.
Mm.
So that's been a lot of testing on that ski to make it work. And I've been on it since 2011 when I won the Worlds in Russia.
Yes, indeed. To match your World Championship in 2007.
Yeah, in 2007 I won with the regular ski, and in Russia I won with that one. But yeah, it's been 11 years. And yes, it's the same mold, but it went through a lot of changes. Materials and rocker, you know, stiffness and play around with it a lot. So I think we came pretty close to what I like, because I mean, I've been skiing pretty good the last couple of years. So yeah, it's been fun, but it's not that, oh, I got my mold, send me a ski. We always try to perfect the ski,
trying to put just a little bit of improvement, maybe a little
and
bit
and that's
of
how you learn there. A lot. Yeah, that's how you learn a lot about the ski. You learn, okay, the ski's a little softer in the tail, what does it do? And then it's a little stiffer on the tip, or it's too stiff on the tip. And it takes a lot of tries because it's not easy. But I think we're pretty close to what I love. And the ski I'm riding is actually last year's ski, which is still pretty good. So it did pretty good last year. I won the Europeans. You know, I got second in Worlds. And so we'll see what happens this weekend.
Obviously, whenever the sport of water skiing comes across the common Italian's mind, that it normally comes down to you to be like the personal face of water skiing in Italy. I mean, obviously, being on primetime television all of those years ago, you chuckle a little bit, and yeah, and the reference is obviously to the Italian Dances with the Stars, which obviously gave you a little bit more in the way of public exposure. But how much exposure do you enjoy these days in the eyes of general commonplace Italians in terms of the world of sport?
I mean, we're not in Formula One where, you know, every step that you take, you get people around you with cameras and phones trying to take pictures. I mean, it feels good to be recognized for the hard work that we put on throughout the years. Of course, you know, I try to give every person, especially kids, that they think you're a hero because they see you doing pretty good in events. Attention, you know, like even through my ski school, people come and they're happy to be there with you. And to be fair, there's no many other sports where you can go and practice with the top level skiers. You know, you don't get to play golf with Tiger Woods and those guys, or you don't get to play soccer with Ronaldo, or, you know, that's the beauty, I think, of our sport a little bit, that it's not so big that allows you to be in contact with, you know, the top skiers in the world.
Just having those types of fans be close to you gives you a bit of a deeper sense of, you know, of how close they are, and you know, and how good you feel about what you do out there on the water. Now you're gonna have a lot of people come out here in Rochetto to watch the European Championships and watching you ski. So do you find that puts a little bit of stress, a little bit of pressure on your shoulders to perform not only well for yourself on a personal level, but also for them as well?
In recent years, yes. There was always, like, in the past, expectation for me to perform at the best. And this year, due to the circumstances, you know, I don't have that much expectations. Of course, I'm going to try my best, and whatever it comes. But prove that, you know, my comfort zone is under stress. And, you know, I always... not always, but many, many times I did well under stress. And so maybe a little bit of stress gives me a comfort zone to be in.
Kind of like a bit of a distraction from what you're having to deal with over the last few weeks.
Yeah, maybe it's good for me, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what even my mom said. Maybe it's good that you go away for a few days and, you know, see other people, see the people that you love, see... do what you do and in a different lake where, you know, everything reminds of what's going on, and maybe it's good for me, you know.
And how much support has been lent on to you by the Federation, the Italian Federation? Because I mean that they support a large tournament water ski program. They've got a good depth of skiers, you know, and they support them. And how well has their support been of you, not only in the past but also in more recent times?
Oh, they've been amazing. I mean, you know, the amount of support of the Federation and the world of water skiing throughout the last 2 weeks of what I've been through, you know, it's been immense. And then that's a testament of how close this community is and how, you know, how people remember my father and also, you know, me and, you know, the Federation, Luciano, the president, and Beta, the team manager, and everybody else. You know, they told me, hey, if you want to come, you can come. If you want to ski, you can ski. If you want to watch, you can watch. Don't feel any obligation towards us to go out there and perform. And but the nature of who I am right now, I can be here and sit on the sideline. You know, it actually would hurt me more.
Indeed. So, there's probably one or two questions that I'll definitely want to ask you. You know, I mean, obviously the immediate future is going to be a little bit in the up in the air. You know, save for this tournament, but you probably have other tournaments that you were lining yourself up to ski for. You've got the Mastercraft Pro is the next major professional one, then the Malibu Open, Travis Grand Prix, the Miami Pro, and that would be the balance of the season. Would you be prepared to say that you are skiing in those events, or are you going to take some time off to reflect?
You know, when I decided to come here, I kind of sat down a little bit with my mom and kind of like see what the future, you know, will bring to us. And, you know, I'm trying to bring my mother to Florida so she can, you know, spend some time away. And she likes Florida. She used to come with my father for many, many years. So she already knows a little bit how it is. And I think she needs it more than anybody. And, but to answer your question, I signed up for all of them. So,
okay.
I think that's what my dad would want me to do. That's what I love to do, and that's who I am.
And you probably have some reassurance that you do have a lot of great fans beyond these shores in Italy. I mean, and they will welcome you with open arms in Florida and in Alabama and yeah. You know, for the tournaments that are lined up between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of friends in Florida also, and you know, they all said, you know, whenever you feel like coming back home and we can ski together. And as I said earlier, like, there's a lot of support in this community. So even it's funny because you see the real friends and the people that really care during tough times. And the amount of people, as I said earlier, it's incredible that they reach out to me and it make me feel, you know, not stressed and not obligated to do anything. But yeah, I want to do the tournaments because I owe it to him. And, you know, he always watch every event. So I'm sure he will watch again.
All right, then. So with that, we'll round off this podcast. I certainly thank you very much for taking the time under given circumstances for making yourself available for this podcast. And normally I give everyone a chance to say thank you, acknowledge the people that have helped them along the way. And I'm going to give you one final opportunity for you to do just that.
Well, I mean, I would like to thank my mother first, you know, for the incredible work that she put through the years and also this summer. And then my brother and his family also. And the Federation, for sure. And also my sponsors have been very, very, you know, understanding of what's going on. So, yeah, the support of the people that are close to me, it's been... I won't forget for the rest of my life how people has been so nice and kind to me lately. And yeah, I want to thank all of them.
All right, then. That was Thomas DeGasperi, and this has been your host, Tony Lightfoot, in this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.